And we're back. It is, once again, the Taylor Report, CIT 89.5 FM. And I think we are joined by Stephen Cowens. Are you there, Stephen?
Yes, I am. Hello, Phil.
It's good to talk to you on a very snowy day in Toronto. I don't know why it's like in Ottawa, but boy, it is bad here. You have written another important piece. I hope everybody reads it at the blog site What's Left. It's gowans.wordpress.com. About the what is going on between the Western powers, largely Washington, and some of its associates in South America, and of course Canada in the vanguard. They've announced that in the name of democracy, they are recognizing somebody. We're all having trouble with his name, including the people overthrowing him. Oh, pardon me, overthrowing Maduro. We know President Maduro, but they have a new president. And even the president of Colombia couldn't pronounce it the other day. So I'll work on it as we go. But how in the world did we get to this place? What is going on between U.S. and its allies and Venezuela?
The way it's presented is that it's the United States and Canada and other countries recognizing someone called the legitimate president of Venezuela, other than what other people thought was the legitimate president of Venezuela, Nick Maduro.
Mm-hmm.
But it has nothing to do with democracy. I mean, that's a diversion. And it's kind of laughable that the United States presents itself as a promoter of democracy and human rights around the world. And just to show how laughable that is, or just point something out, I was reading some Trump tweets one day, and in one of Trump's tweets, he talked about how he was the greatest president in U.S. history and the most popular and had done more than any other U.S. president and so on.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, does he really believe this, or is he mentally ill? I mean, completely deluded.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't decide which it was.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought this was unique to Trump. But the next day I was reading the New York Times, and I was reading a news story by a journalist. This isn't an op-ed, but a news story. And the journalist was talking about how the United States is the great champion of freedom and democracy in the world. And I realized that there was no difference between that and what Trump had said. I mean, completely self-delusional. It would have to be, it's like a form of mental illness. I mean, the idea that the United States promotes democracy is just silly. I mean, the United States government likes dictators. Mm-hmm. What it doesn't like is socialists and leaders who put the interests of their citizens above those of U.S. investors. And that's what this is all about. The Maduro government is a government that is pursuing what they call a socialist course. And they're putting the interests of their own citizens above those of U.S. investors, and that's intolerable to the United States. And although there's a lot of talk about democracy, especially here in Canada, because, you know, we're also involved in this, if you look at what the U.S. foreign policy establishment says, it's clear that this is all about blocking socialism or overthrowing socialism in Venezuela. So, for example, Dennis Blair, who is the National Director of Intelligence in the United States, in 2010, identified Venezuela as a threat to the United States because the president at that time, Hugo Chavez, denounced, this is quote, he denounced market capitalism. Therefore, he was described as a threat to the United States. In November, the National Security Advisor, John Bolton, said, we are confronted once again with the destructive forces of socialism in Cuba, in Venezuela, in Nicaragua. He called them the Troika of Tyranny, and he said,
Gotta have your cliches going.
Yes, they have finally met its match because the president and his entire administration will stand with the freedom fighters. Mm-hmm. In today's Wall Street Journal, on the editorials talked about regime changes necessary in Venezuela to save it from its socialist revolution.
Mm-hmm.
So the people who are making decisions about U.S. foreign policy are quite clear about what they're doing. It has nothing to do with democracy and everything to do with stopping a socialist revolution, as they describe it.
Mm-hmm. Well, now, and that is very interesting. I watched Mr. Pompeo. I can't say Pompeo without saying pompous. And he said, well, they don't have enough to eat and they can't get water. Well, you know, if you were in court and you were the landlord or a guy next door who's turned off the water to the other guy, the judge would say, actually, you have a conflict here. You know, you're part of what has caused them problems. And there, by the way, this isn't a quibble. I notice some people want to quibble about it. Oh, well, you know, if any economic problem in the country must be Maduro's fault. But these states have been working zealously to make sure that his economy is destroyed. Am I right?
Yes, it's the economic atom bomb, and they do this everywhere. Every time there's a government around that promotes the interests of the local population above those of U.S. investors, they do the same thing. I mean, they've done this with Cuba. They've done it with China. They did it with Venezuela. They've done it with Yugoslavia. They slap on these punitive sanctions, and the intention is to undermine and destroy the economy until you create massive misery and dislocation and chaos. And the idea is to encourage people to try to overthrow their government, mm-hmm. or at least to become alienated from it. And perhaps some of the, and also part of the program, and this has been made clear in some U.S. foreign policy documents, part of the program is to disguise the impact of the U.S. sanctions so that the economic breakdown is attributed to, quote, as they always talk about it in the newspapers, economic mismanagement. Mm-hmm. Or what they talk about now with regard to Venezuela is socialism. Mm-hmm. If you read, well, in the Wall Street Journal, other newspapers that talk about, well, you know, this is just a warning mm-hmm. about all those people in the United States who want to vote for Bernie Sanders or others who call them socialists. See what happens when you have socialist policies? You get Venezuela. Mm-hmm. The country completely, runs into chaos. It breaks down. Mm-hmm. Yet this breakdown is attributable to this systematic economic war that the United States and other countries have waged against Venezuela. The intention is to destroy their economy.
Mm-hmm. we're speaking to Stephen Gallant. Gallant's .wordpress.com. Stephen has written books on Syria, the attack on Syria, the attempt to destroy that government, and also on Korea. And it has a new book on the occupation of Palestinian territory by Israel, and which will be coming out this spring. You know, Stephen, there used to be a debate amongst people who were socialists. They said, can you have socialism in one country? Certainly, if you were to ask Washington, London, or Paris, the answer is no, because they intend to destroy it.
Yes. It happens.
You can't have a popular democracy that says, oh, we're going to have a socialist system. That's verboten.
Absolutely. You can't have a system which promotes citizens' interests above those of U.S. foreign investors and U.S. corporations. The last visit that Robert Mugabe, the former president of Zimbabwe, made to the U.N. General Assembly, he talked about, you know, what's the job of the president or leader of a country? It's to represent his or her constituents and to promote their interests. And yet every time a third world country tries to do that, what happens is that the United States undermines their government and mm-hmm. says, you can't do that because your interests are subordinate to the interests of U.S. or, you know, corporate USA.
Mm-hmm. Now, I notice there's some discomfort amongst those who are waging this battle and attempting to get Mr. Guaido, I think his name is, in. Today's Globe had an op-ed piece by a writer. He's a former ambassador to Venezuela. And he says, well, we're not with Trump. We're with the Lima group. I haven't been able to see any air or light, let me put it that way, between Lima and Trump. Can you make it out?
That's quite amusing. Yeah, I guess.
It is pretty funny. I got to agree.
I guess Trump is so discredited.
That is part of their problem, isn't it? I mean, they've been telling everybody here he lies no matter how, if he talks out of either side of his mouth, it's a lie. But when he talks about Venezuela, he's absolutely right, and we're with him 100%.
Yeah. Hey,
99, we're Lima. We're the Lima group.
Yeah, well, he's less deceptive on this than our own global affairs minister, given what I just pointed out, which is that members of his cabinet are quite clear that the intention here is to undermine this socialist government because it's a socialist government. Whereas our global affairs minister would lead you to believe it has something to do with promoting democracy.
Mm-hmm. And further, by the way, he was also on CTV last night. His name is Roswell, I think. He said, I was very interested, he didn't write this, but I watched him say it on camera. He says, well, look, what we have is the man who's supported by the people of Venezuela, and then we have the guy with the guns. And what evidence is there? I have a friend in Venezuela. I've been trying to reach him. And I had 1 week message back from Venezuela. And the answer to the question of who is this man, he said, nobody here knows him. He's a leader of a small party, but he's chosen by Trump. But here we have a former ambassador saying he has the support of the people. And no, the reporter doesn't say, how do you know that?
Yeah, I mean, that's the deception. Again, that's part of this presenting this as promoting democracy. We're simply promoting the person who has the support of the people. Mm-hmm. And whatever support that he has, and likely that there are some Venezuelans who are fed up with an economy that's collapsed because of U.S. sanctions.
Mm-hmm.
It's not Maduro that's responsible for that, and it's not Maduro's socialist policies that are responsible for that. It's the United States, and its deliberate, systematic attempt to undermine that economy and make people in Venezuela suffer. Mm-hmm. And who's colluding with that? The person that the United States is now promoting as the legitimate president of Venezuela.
Yeah. Looking at South America, you must have noticed the voting. Incidentally, my understanding is in the vote at the Security Council, the vote was 17-16 for dialogue and not for intervention or to interference. I think the two issues, they kind of broke it down. Are you for interfering, meddling would be another word, or are you for dialogue? The dialogue guys won 17-16. That's actually a pretty... doesn't show a lot of power on the part of Washington.
No. But they went ahead anyway.
Mm-hmm. Also, as left out, I noticed, is the Caribbean states are all on the opposed to meddling in internal affairs. I was struck by that. That seems to have been left out. I should ask you, they're also saying how they're aligned with these wonderful countries, Honduras, Brazil, Paraguay. And when I hear Paraguay, I remember there was a coup in Paraguay that brought whoever it is to power. Then there was a coup in Honduras supported by Hillary Clinton. In Brazil, the most popular, apparently, it could be debated, but certainly highly popular, Democratic socialist politician, Mr. Lula, is in prison. But these are the leaders. I mean, by the way, Mr. Bolsonaro is the one who said he's going to open up the Amazon to people who like to chop down trees.
Yeah. And
our green prime minister thinks that's great.
Yeah. The idea that Washington's intervention in Venezuela has even the slightest connection to promoting democracy is laughable when you look at the U.S. government notoriously supporting a string of right-wing dictatorships throughout Latin America, including Augusto Pinochet, who was installed in the wake of the 1973 U.S. engineered coup against Salvador Allende. Mm-hmm. And what was the problem with Allende? He was doing the same thing Maduro was doing, and a host of other third world leaders have done, which is put the interests of the local population ahead of those of corporate America. Mm-hmm. Or we look at the Middle East. Who's the United States' top Arab allies? Well, one is a military dictatorship in Egypt. Just this weekend in the New York Times, there was a long article about Sisi, the president of Egypt, who came to power in a military coup, a good friend of the United States, receiving $1.3 billion annually in military aid. And how is he presented? Well, you know, he's a dictator, but a dictator who has killed thousands of people in peaceful demonstrations, who's locked up tens of thousands of members of the opposition, but they say, but he's cracking down on Islamist extremists. Mm-hmm. Well, then we look at Syria. What's mm-hmm. happening in Syria? There's a crackdown on Islamic extremists, but somehow the United States isn't aligned with the government there. But Saudi Arabia, I mean, is the absolute most egregious example of the United States backing this absolutist government that completely rejects democracy. Mm-hmm. And yet the United States will continue, who knows for how long, to back this, and Canada as well, to back this, you know, this absolutist despotic government.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, we speak specifically about Canada. The idea that Canada is talking about promoting democracy in Venezuela is simply absurd when you consider that we have, or Canada has approved, the $10 billion contract to supply the Saudi National Guard with armored personnel carriers. I mean, the Saudi National Guard is a huge organization, 250,000 troops. And it's not to defend Saudi Arabia from external aggression, but to defend this despotic monarchy from its own subjects.
Yes.
You don't get much reporting in the West.
And by the way, if you want to see people who are hungry and need water, they are in Yemen and they're being bombed by Saudi Arabia. And there's no sanctions. There's no disciplining. There's no talk about a blockade.
No, and while we're participating in this, the Canadian government is facilitating this. Who is it that trains the National Guard? It's the U.S. and its allies. As we participate in that, then we strut around the world interfering in the affairs of democratic countries and saying that we're doing so to promote democracy. Mm-hmm. So that makes it completely laughable. And it's like Trump talking about himself as being the greatest president in the U.S. Well, it's more delusion.
Mm-hmm. Now it's you kind of feel that we're in a dream state, and it's kind of like the history of politics. People say, "Wake up, open your eyes." We speak of rule of law. If we look at this situation, you have what is called a Congress in Venezuela, it's full of different parties. And they have had, I think it was pointed out, something like 25 elections in 18 years. And Mr. Maduro was elected. Others chose not to compete. There was a man named Falcone who had been part of the opposition. He said, "I'll run against Maduro." And the United States threatened him for wanting to run. And then they say, well, the elections were fraudulent. Well, what kind of behavior is that?
Yeah, and that's the typical. I mean, this approach has been used repeatedly. It was used in Zimbabwe. That's the favorite one, you know. You coordinate with the opposition. You back the opposition. You essentially run the opposition and tell it what to do. And one of the things you tell the opposition to do is boycott the election because we're going to declare that it's fraudulent before it even be held.
Mm-hmm.
And then once you do that, then you can declare that the person who was elected is illegitimate because the election was fraudulent. It's the same game they're playing in Venezuela, they play elsewhere.
Yeah, the Last 2 days, they've decided to do a little cosmetics on the Canadian intervention in Venezuela, and they say we've been practicing quiet diplomacy. And it turns out that the quiet diplomacy involves the movement of this man Guaido. He illegally, or pardon me, secretly left his country and visited Washington, where they discussed what he would do.
Yep.
And the Canadians were in the loop. Mm-hmm. So I thought that was called espionage or a secret. Why don't they say we've been practicing secret diplomacy? Because it has been a secret, right?
Well, it's been coordinated by the United States with Canada's participation. And that's not the only thing. I mean, in September of 2018, the New York Times reported that the Trump administration had been holding secret meetings with Venezuelan military officers to discuss their plans to overthrow Maduro.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, all kinds of things are happening in this clandestine way, and this has been going on for quite some time.
Mm-hmm.
So we shouldn't be shocked to find out that the United States is trying to oust Maduro from Venezuela.
Yeah.
Almost a year ago, Linda McQuigg wrote a nice article in the Toronto Star, which I think she described exactly what this is all about.
Mm-hmm.
And she, the way she put it is, what's going on, and this was a year ago, what's going on in Venezuela is a bitter class war with millions of poor people committed to defending a revolution carried out in their name, and the United States and Canada taking the side of the wealthy.
Who else? I guess we should emphasize how dangerous this is. One detail I saw today, I'd like your thoughts about this, is that Mr. Guaido has named his charged affairs to represent Venezuela, and the United States has accepted this gentleman to be in Washington. And it turns out he is wanted in Venezuela for arson and incitement to violence and for financing terrorism. I understand these are unproven, I suppose, but, you know, it's kind of interesting. This is who you appoint. And he is also number two in what is called the People's Will Party, People's Will Party is a very small right-wing party whose leader is in prison because he was part of attempting coups in the past.
Right.
Now he's officially tied in with Washington. This is a kind of situation where the history of America is it does invade. Am I right? I mean, this actually is obviously a provocation. They're trying to get Maduro to arrest people so that they can jump in, and one wonders where they think they're going to go with this.
Yeah, and where they go is just continue to try and discredit him in various ways and to portray him as a terrible dictator,
mm-hmm.
Who's cracking down on human rights and denying people their rights.
Well, 70% of his press is privately owned, private publications.
Mm-hmm.
That's an evil man, right? He doesn't even control the press. He suppresses.
Yeah, I know.
It's a daunting situation. By the way, you've made also you some good criticism. I urge people to read you. You're asking advising people who write about from here or outside Venezuela to stick to the point of protecting, defending Venezuela's right to self-determination, his right to sovereignty, as opposed to people giving Mr. Maduro advice he doesn't probably need.
Yeah, I mean, there are those who've spoken out, as they should, against the interference. Or the attempt to promote a coup d'etat, which is excellent, but at the same time they always feel compelled to offer some alternative, which amounts to more intervention.
Mm-hmm.
which is, okay, well, the United States government shouldn't do this, but it should do something else,
yes.
Just essentially tell the Venezuelans how to resolve their own problems.
Yeah.
Because apparently people in the third world are completely incapable of doing anything from our perspective and need our help and our paternalistic oversight.
Stephen Gowans, gowans.wordpress.com. We're looking forward to your book. Thank you very, very much for joining us.
Thank you.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Taylor Report, CIUT.